We have come together this morning to honor the Lord and to honor His body that was given for us and to honor His blood that was poured out for us. And to regard that blood of the covenant by which we are sanctified as something that is pure, as something that is powerful, as something precious. And that's a really special thing we're doing. It's a wonderful thing we're doing. But sadly, some Christians are not dedicated to honor Christ's blood outside of the time that we spend memorializing Him in the Lord's Supper. They may not honor Him in their daily lives, in the way that they live. And so we need to commit to honoring the blood of Christ 7 days a week. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. We need to honor the blood of Christ 7 days a week. If you will turn your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're gonna examine one of the most severe warnings of unfaithfulness that there is in all Scripture. This is a really strong passage. And we're going to make application that will help us in our observance of the Lord's Supper and in our daily lives. Look, starting in verse 26. The writer says, For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve, who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? We know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We need to honor the blood of Christ 7 days a week. It's crucial. It's critical. Before we really examine these verses, I want to kind of walk you through what is the daily life of some Christians. Maybe some Christians here. I hope not. I don't think this would be the case. But the kind of Christian I'm talking about is the one who wakes up on Sunday morning pretty exhausted because he stayed up having way too much fun on Saturday night. Really no preparation for worship services or Bible class. But he does intend to go. So at least he has that going for him. He frantically prepares to get ready because he slept in so late, and he rushes to get here, and he does get here. I don't mean here, but to wherever this hypothetical person is worshiping. And he takes the Lord's Supper. That is important to him. And he worships the Lord. He manages to stay awake through the rest of services, and he's just not very engaged. He doesn't really care. He feels like he just kind of has to do this. And he knows in his heart he's really living a double life. He knows he's not living like a Christian should. And he honestly doesn't really care. This individual, after services are over, goes to eat and goes home and has the rest of the day to maybe do some things he wants. And then Monday comes. It's back to the grindstone. It's back to work. And although he's not really excited about that, he's actually more energetic and more prepared to go to work than he was to come to services. And he gets there, and man, he's just surrounded by people who, they've got filthy mouths. They tell dirty jokes all the time. They gossip. They talk about really shameful things that they do and that they did over the weekend. And he hears this stuff all the time, and he sees them do shameful things. And he has noticed that through the years, that's rubbed off on him. He talks the same way now. Tells the same dirty jokes, gossips just the same as everybody else, uses the same filthy language, takes part in all the shameful activities they do. As this day goes on, he notices You know, the preacher talked about on Sunday that I need to share the gospel. I'm not sharing the gospel with anybody. And I just don't really care. I don't really want to. He takes no opportunities to really influence anybody for good. He does try to be good in some ways. And to try to be religious in some ways. So that day is over. He goes home. He has dinner. He has his whole evening routine. There was no time spent in prayer. There was no time spent in God's Word that whole day. And Tuesday comes. It's just like Monday. Wednesday was just like Tuesday, except maybe he comes to Bible study Wednesday night. Maybe not. Thursday comes just like Wednesday. Friday comes, it was just like Thursday, except Friday night is the start of the weekend, so he gets to kick up some dust. Saturday, same thing, gets to do some things around the house and maybe kick up some dust, have some fun, maybe do some things that he really shouldn't be doing in that entertainment and in the fun that he's having. Some things that he wouldn't want his brethren to know about, but he doesn't really care what God thinks. Sunday morning comes. Wakes up exhausted from staying up too late on Saturday night having fun. And it's time to go to worship again. And the whole thing keeps repeating itself, this vicious cycle over and over and over. That is the life that some Christians are living. But they want to make sure that they take the Lord's Supper. And they are going to honor the blood of Christ for this short time that we're here. But not on the other days of the week. We need to honor the blood of Christ 7 days a week. Now, what I want us to do is take a look at this passage and just break it down a little bit. We're going to look at it 2 verses at a time. Verses 26 and 27 say, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries." When the writer talks about sinning willfully, he's talking about somebody whose attitude is, I know it's wrong, and I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care what God thinks. I don't care what God's Word says. I'm ready to just do what I want to do, period. End of story. It's that kind of spirit, that kind of attitude. In the Old Testament, there was no sacrifice for a sin like that. If you had that kind of attitude behind a sin you committed, there was no animal you could offer. We're not talking about a sin of weakness, like David sinning with Bathsheba. He knew it was wrong, and this is a man who would repent when it was pointed out, and he did. We're talking about somebody who knows it's wrong and doesn't care. And if we, under Christ's covenant, if we have that kind of an attitude, and we live that kind of life, what sacrifice could there possibly be for us? Christ's sacrifice won't work for us in that case. It won't apply to us in that case. Because Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we might continue living in sin unabated. He died on the cross to free us of that slavery, to free us from the bondage of sin. One of the reasons he died on the cross is so that we might stop practicing sin and try to be like him who was sinless. And so if we don't have Christ's sacrifice to save us, what sacrifice are we going to offer? I mean, is there any other sacrifice that could be? There's no sacrifice that could save outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. Verses 28 and 29 say, "Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve, who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace?" When you think of the Old Testament, think of the corporal punishment that was enforced. We cringe, we shudder to think of that punishment. If men and women are caught in the act of adultery, they're to be stoned to death. Your child is rebellious. The child is to be stoned to death. Somebody is found picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. The person is to be stoned to death. It's brutal. It's, you might say, barbaric. That's so severe. I mean, aren't you glad that we don't have that those corporal forms of punishment under the new covenant? Yes. But actually, when we violate Christ's commandment, when under the new covenant we continue sinning willfully, that's worse than it was under the old covenant breaking the law of Moses. Because under Christ, when we go on sinning willfully, what we're doing is we are stomping on Him. We are trampling Him under our feet as if we care nothing about Him. When we go on sinning willfully, we are treating His blood as something unclean, as something repulsive even. I don't want that in my life. That's in essence what we're saying to Christ in the blood that He offered for us. And we're shunning that. And then we are also insulting the Spirit of grace, insulting God's Spirit. We are essentially spitting in the Spirit's face, the Spirit which works in the redemption of and the salvation of our souls. And so it's a very, very serious matter that we honor the blood of Christ and that we do that 7 days a week. Verses 30 and 31 say, "For we know Him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.' And again, the Lord will judge His people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." If it was a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of your religious community and experience the corporal punishment that came from that, how much more terrifying to fall into the hands of the living God, who can not only destroy our body, but can destroy our body and our spirit and our soul in hell. That's a terrifying thing. It is a terrifying thing. It's not something that I want to think about. But if we don't take seriously this matter of honoring the blood of Christ in our daily lives, that's the reality that lays before us. And so this morning, as we eat this bread, as we drink this cup, as we memorialize what Jesus did for us on the cross in giving His body and in pouring His blood out for many for the remission of our sins, I want to remind us of the importance of honoring what Christ did on the cross and honoring that blood that was poured out for us. To show reverence for that, to regard it as pure and as powerful and as precious. But also, I want to encourage us to commit ourselves to not just honor that blood right now, at this special time where we're taking the Lord's Supper, but to honor His blood in our daily lives, to honor His blood the rest of today, to honor it on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and to honor His blood in our hearts, to honor His blood in our minds, to honor His blood with the words that come out of our mouths, and to honor His blood with our actions. And if we do that, we don't have a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire that will consume the adversaries to fear, because perfect love casts out fear. If we are honoring the blood of Christ in the way that we live, and none of us are perfect, but if we are honoring His blood on a daily basis, 7 days a week, we have something glorious to look forward to. We have the hope of eternal salvation, the hope of dwelling in the presence of our Father and of the Lamb of God who shed His blood so that we could spend eternity with Him in heaven.